For the last so many weeks, we've been on a study called Building Your House. Building Your House. And friends, I'm not talking about building a physical house with ceilings and a roof outside and landscaping all around and a basement. I'm not talking about a physical house. We're talking about building our spiritual house. We're talking about building our spiritual lives. And the last time that I was here and talked with you guys, we talked about safeguarding our spiritual house. Safeguarding our spiritual house. Now, how do you safeguard and protect if you're building a physical house? So you hire a home builder to build you a physical house. How do you steady that house? How do you safeguard that house and against storms and that sort of a thing? You build it on top of a solid foundation. How do you safeguard it against lightning and it being destroyed? Putting lightning rods on the house, right? And one of the ways that we can safeguard and protect our spiritual lives is with the written word of God. Amen? The lightning rod of God's word. And basically, there's going to be things that come across your path as you go about your daily life, your daily spiritual walk. And, you know, there's going to be heresies that you may encounter out there. People telling you that they are the Christ. And we know that there's only one Christ and his name is Jesus Christ, and one day he's going to split the eastern sky and take his church back to him. Amen? Amen? You know, there's people out there that believe that there's many roads to heaven. That's a heresy, friends. And we know that there's only one road to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Why? Because the Word of God says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the way. There's only one path, only one way to God, to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. See, so the Word of God helps safeguard us against heresies, false doctrines that are out there. Now, the Word of God helps safeguard us against temptations. When the enemy tries to tempt your flesh, you tell him, no, I'm not going to do it. Because people who heed to the flesh and bow to the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God, the Word says so. The Word of God, if you study it, you meditate on it, you memorize it, it will help safeguard and protect your spiritual life. Amen? You know, today I want to talk about a vital component of building, another vital component of building your spiritual life, your spiritual house. It's called trust in God, trusting the master builder, God himself. And, you know, if you hire a contractor to build you a house, you've got to have some level of what? Trust. You've got to trust this home builder, right? You've got to trust that he's going to lay a good foundation. You've got to trust that he's going to frame the house well, right? You've got to trust that he's going to hire good electricians and good plumbers and good roofers to build your house as good as possible, right? You've got to have some level of trust in the home builder. Would you agree? Because if you don't have any trust in him, you're constantly interrogating him, asking him questions, being hard to deal with, he'll be able to sense your mistrust, your distrust, and you know what? It's not going to go well. He may not want to build your house. Is that making sense? So it's the same way with God. We've got to have trust in God. And you know what, friends? As I go about in life, things happen. How many of us here know that as we go about daily life, things just happen sometimes? Things we never expected. Anybody ever been there? You know, you may have an unexpected report on a certain situation. You may have an unexpected loss of a relationship, an unexpected loss of a job or a career. You may have a bad health diagnosis. Maybe some part of your body was hurting you and you went to the doctor and he gave you a bad health diagnosis. And a lot of times when people go through life and things happen and they get a bad report or an unexpected loss, the first thing that grips them is what?
Fear.
A lot of times that's the natural human emotion, is to get fearful. And when you think of the word fear, F-E-A-R, think of this: false expectations appearing real. When you think of the word fear, F-E-A-R, it's false expectations appearing real. You know what fear really is, friends?
Faith reversed.
He says it's faith reversed. That's good. Fear is expecting the worst possible end result. That's all fear is. And a lot of the things that you fear about, that I fear about, never end up coming to pass. So what is fear? Fear is a waste of mental energy. It's a waste of thinking about the same thing. That's what worry is. Thinking about the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, because a lot of the things that you fear and worry about will never even come to pass. It's the enemy's way of robbing you of joy and peace. For instance, let's say you get a bad health diagnosis. The doctor tells you, you know what? You've got high blood pressure. If you receive a report like that you've got high blood pressure, a lot of people will expect the worst. Oh my goodness, this may end in death. What is that? Expecting the worst possible outcome called death is, that's being gripped by fear, right? You know, let's say that somebody here loses a job. You lose a job. What does fear say to think? Expecting the worst possible outcome is, man, I may never be able to get a job again. I may never have enough money. I may be stuck here in this place all of my life. Friend, that's expecting the worst possible outcome over a loss. That's fear gripping your heart and your mind. Say, for instance, you lose a relationship with somebody you were engaged to, or somebody you were going to marry, or maybe a spouse, or maybe a brother, a sister, a parent. You lose a relationship. What does fear say to think? It says to think or expect the worst possible outcome. I'll never have a relationship again. Man, I'll be alone till the day of death. Friends, that is fear gripping your heart, expecting the worst possible outcome. Is that making sense today? But what does it say in the Word of God in 2 Timothy 1:7? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Did you know that fear is a spirit? And Paul the Apostle writes in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not of God. Who is fear from? Fear is from the devil. That tormenting fear is from Satan himself. And Jesus in John 8 calls the devil a liar and the father of lies. If fear is from the devil, then what is from God? What is the opposite of fear? As he said, faith is of God. And the Bible tells us the one thing clearly that pleases God. And what is that? What is it? Faith. Because it says what in Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what does that say to you and me? If it's impossible to please God without faith, how is it possible to please God? If it's impossible to please God without faith, then it's only possible to please God with faith. Amen? So if fear expects the worst possible end result, what does faith in God expect? The best possible end result. It expects hope. So for the next few minutes, we're going to study an account of fear versus faith. Mark chapter 4. You got a Bible? Turn to Mark chapter 4. Let's study this account. How many enjoy the Word of God? How many here enjoy getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis? Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. Mark 4, 35 through 39. All right. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Okay, this is Jesus speaking. "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boats. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall or a storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So imagine Jesus and the disciples in a boat. In a boat. It might have been a clear day. It might have been a calm day. It might have been nice outside. And all at once, what happens? On the sea. They're in the boat, they're sailing along, and all at once, a furious storm arises. And so maybe the sky turns black, and it begins to rain, and the wind begins to beat against the boat, and it begins to rock back and forth in the middle of the sea. How many would like to be in that position? It would be pretty scary, don't you think? But we got fear versus faith in this account. And the disciples, after the storm arose, were gripped with what?
Fear.
In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39, they were gripped with what?
Fear.
They were gripped with fear. How do we know that the disciples were gripped with fear in Mark chapter 4?
Terrified.
They were what now?
Terrified.
They were terrified, but how do we know that they were gripped with fear? How do we know that they were terrified of the storm in their life? Exactly. He hit the nail on the head. Because the disciples expected the worst possible end results. They thought that this storm was going to end in drowning. They thought that this storm was going to end in death. So they were gripped with fear. Would you agree? But then we have faith on the other side. And who was resting in faith? Jesus. How do we know that Jesus was full of faith in this this situation? Because he had what now?
He rose up and rebuked the storm.
He says he rose up and rebuked the storm. That's good. But if you look at this passage closely, we know that Jesus was full of faith because of what? Look at verse 38. The brother said it again. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Jesus was sleeping in peace. He was sleeping in peace. Why? Why was Jesus sleeping in peace in the stern? Because he knew they were not going to drown. He knew that the storm would not end in death. He had faith and trust in God the Father. He knew that God the Father up in heaven had the whole situation under his control. He knew that they would not die. Jesus was living in faith. Jesus was full of faith, expecting the best possible outcome, knowing that the storm would subside. Is that making sense today? And friends, I'm here to tell you today that you may be facing a storm in your life. I don't know what it is. As I said earlier, maybe the loss of a job, the loss of a career, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, the loss of money. Depression on the inside, addiction in your life. You may be facing a storm of a different sort today. But guess what? Have faith and trust in God like Jesus. Are you going to be gripped with fear like the disciples? Or will you be gripped and driven by faith like Jesus? Let me say it again. Will you be gripped with fear like the disciples were in the middle of the storm? Or will you be driven and motivated by faith in God, knowing that God has got your entire situation under his control? That's good news, isn't it? Amen? Let's turn to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, I was at my parents' house yesterday, and this scripture was hanging there on the wall. Isaiah chapter 26. Very good scripture, and it's an awesome scripture. The only one solution to eliminate fear and worry is what?
Faith.
It's faith. It's trust in God. Fear and worry are relatives. They're cousins, if you would. Right? Fear is false expectations appearing real. Worry is thinking about a negative situation, the negative outcome, the worst possible outcome, and thinking about it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, endless numbers of times. That's what worry is. And you know what? All it does is drain your mental energies. It drains your emotional energies. Friends, you don't have to be like that baby waking up every 2 hours at night, not being able to sleep. See, the enemy, the devil, is trying to rob you of peace, of joy, of your rest at night. By trying to infiltrate your mind and your spirit with fear and worry. That tormenting fear is not of God, it's of the enemy. And the only one solution to eliminate that fear and that worry is trust in God. Amen? Isaiah 26, verse 3. So what he writes, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he what? He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, steady, because he trusts in you." And Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39, was practicing Isaiah 26, 3. Would you agree? Why was Jesus in perfect peace sleeping in the stern of the boat? Because his mind was steadfast, he was trusting in God the Father. Amen? And friend, that is the only solution to fear and worry, tormenting fear and worry in your life, is to have trust and faith in God. And if you've got trust and faith in God, guess what? You will be kept in the perfect peace of God. See, look at your life as that boat in Mark chapter 4. Look at your life as that boat. Today, your boat, your life, is probably being rocked by some type of storm. Like I said, an addiction, depression, lack of finances, lack of a job, loneliness. Maybe your life is being rocked by a storm right now. But remember, imitate Jesus. Imitate Jesus. If we claim to live in Christ and God, we've got to walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6. Imitate Jesus, and in the middle of the storm, Jesus was at peace. He was trusting God. So friend, if your life, your boat is being rocked, remember this, that your boat, your life is being rocked in the palm of God's hands. He's got your life, your situation in the palm of his hands. He is not going to let your boat, your life tip. He is not going to let you drown. Amen? If you agree with that today, say amen.
Amen.
You might be wondering today, well, how do I increase my faith? Pray to God. Cry out to God and say, God, in myself, I'm weak. I can't do this thing on my own. I just can't do it, God. My faith gets weak at times. But God, I pray that you increase my faith in you. Increase my trust in you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your faith, friends, in God? Start reading, meditating, and memorizing His written Word. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you got plenty of Bibles here at the mission. Don't let them just sit around and collect dust. Pull them off that shelf and start reading them. Start meditating upon them. Start memorizing what you read. Amen?
Amen.
That's how your faith is going to increase, is by reading the Word of God. Not only reading the Word of God, but also praying to God. Because in your weakness, God's strength is made evident. When you're weak and you can't trust God, and fear wants to grip your mind and your heart, and worry wants to grip your mind, and you're like, man, I'm too weak. I can't stop worrying. I can't sleep at night, man. My trust in God is just too weak. God, I have faith, but help my unbelief. God, strengthen my faith and my trust in you. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that God will do it for you. Amen? As you go through the written Word of God, you read of men like Abraham, who God blessed with a son after 25 years of waiting. You read of men like Job, who lost everything in his life, went through a tremendous storm in his life, but he still had faith in God. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And we know that at the end of Job's life, at the end of Job, the end of the book, God did what? God restored everything back to Job two times. God came through for Job. God came through for Abraham. God came through for Paul the Apostle. He came through for so many people in this written Word of God. And as you read those stories, you're inspired and your faith grows. You start to think, man, if God did it for Abraham, if God did it for Job, if God did it for Paul the Apostle, if God did it for these men in flesh and bone like myself, the same God can do it for me. Why? Because the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. Jesus is the exact representation of God. And that means that God the Father never changes. Amen? The God who delivered people from storms in the written Word is the God who is able to deliver you from the storm you're going through in your life today. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen with me if you agree with that.
All
right, God is good all the time, and all the time God is
good.
You know, back in 05, remember the tsunami that hit Asia back in 04, December of 04? Terrible tsunami, rocked so many nations, it devastated Indonesia and India and other nations. And I had been doing a lot of missionary work in the country of Asia, a country of India. And I just sensed in my heart that I should do some type of tsunami relief in India the summer of 05. Just my little part. You know, everybody does their little part, a big thing gets done. Amen? So I did my little part, and some of you may have heard this story before, and put a team together, had four people on the team, and raised funds, and we were ready to go to South India to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring tsunami relief. And so I was excited about going to India the next day, and I received a call from one of my team members, an older man from California. And he said, "Jonathan, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I've just had a medical emergency. And my doctor says I should not be flying to India with you tomorrow morning." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, I just can't believe this." I was floored. My mind was going in 1,000 different directions. You know, should I reschedule this trip? Should I not have planned this trip in the first place? God, what has gone wrong? My mind was playing games with me, friends. Going up, down, and all around. God, what do I do? God, I'm ready to cancel the plans right now. This was like 12 to 15 hours before we flew out to India. So I had four on my team. This guy was married, so he and his wife did not come. The team went from four people to two people, myself and another person. But on the inside, in the middle of that storm in my life, how many would agree today that that was a storm in my life? Plans being changed at the last minute. In the middle of that storm, guess what? I had the peace of God. Deep down on the inside, God was saying, "It's going to be okay. Just trust me." So I just trusted God. And you know, God, I know you've got the whole situation under your control. You've got the entire situation in the palm of your hands. And I trusted God. And guys, guess what? Myself and this other guy, we went to India. We shared the gospel. We shared the Bible, the written word, in a Bible school in South India. We brought tsunami relief to a village. The whole village heard the gospel of Jesus Christ for the very first time. And many, many, many were saved. That's awesome, isn't it? God did it for me, friends. He can do it for you. I don't know what type of storm you're going through today. But remember this, if your life is being rocked, if your boat is being rocked, it is being rocked in God's hand. He's not going to let you tip. He's not going to let you drown. Just continue to trust in Him like Jesus did. He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you. Amen?
Amen?
Because He trusts in you, God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Amen? And when you get weak in your faith and your trust in God, start reading the Word. Start looking at the God who delivered people throughout the Bible. The same God that did it for them can do it for you. And start crying out to God and saying, "God, help my lack of trust. God, increase and strengthen my sense of trust in You and in Your goodness." Amen? He delivered Jonah from the whale as well. How many know that Jonah was in a major storm? He was stuck in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And God delivered Jonah. You can read throughout the Bible, He's done it for so many people. He can do it for you and for me. Amen?